Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Two juveniles were shot at a weekend party in North Pole. Alaska State Troopers report responding to an underage party at 9 Mile Richardson Highway around 11:30 Saturday night and hearing what sounded like firecrackers or gunshots. Troopers say two males were found to have been shot in the abdomen and taken to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, where they underwent emergency surgery. They say investigation revealed that several juveniles got into an altercation with another group of teens or young adults, and shots were fired. A juvenile suspect was arrested and jailed at Fairbanks Correctional Center and is being charged with assault and weapons misconduct. The state announced a dozen new Alaska resident COVID-19 deaths yesterday, plus one new non-resident death. The Department of Health and Social Services says the deaths include one Fairbanks resident, five Wasilla residents, and three Anchorage residents, plus one each from Bethel, the Mat Su, and the Aleutians West census area. Most of the people who died were over 70, but the fatalities also include individuals in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. The number of Alaskans known to have died from COVID-19 is now 341. Monday's DHSS report also listed new case and hospitalization data for the Friday through Sunday time span. There were 12 new virus hospitalizations, with 37 COVID diagnosed and two suspected virus patients in Alaska hospitals statewide. Five patients were on ventilators. There were 419 new Alaska resident cases confirmed over the 3 days, including 125 in Fairbanks, 32 in North Pole, and one other elsewhere in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Additional interior cases included 10 in Tokë, 2 in the Southeast Fairbanks census area, plus one apiece in Delta Junction, the Denali Borough, and Esther. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that pregnant women get the COVID-19 vaccine. KTOO reports that Dr. Lisa Rabinowitz, a staff physician with Alaska's Public Health Department who serves on its COVID-19 task force, says the announcement helps doctors make recommendations for pregnant women.
We knew the great risk of the infection to women, so we were very excited this week to have more concrete data that helps we feel more confident talking to women and helping them make this decision.
In a White House press briefing last week, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said no safety concerns were observed in more than 800 women who completed their pregnancies after getting the vaccine in the third trimester. Alaska's population increased 3.3% in the last decade, according to official 2020 U.S. Census statewide population data released yesterday. As KUAC's Robin reports, the increase is not enough to change Alaska's representation in Congress.
The official census count for people living in Alaska is 733,391. That's 1.3 people per square mile, and the least dense of all 50 states. Alaska gained a little over 23,000 folks in the last 10 years. We still have only enough people to warrant one congressional district. There are five other states that also have small populations and also only get one congressperson. But as of this count, Alaska has more people than the states Wyoming and Vermont, and more than the District of Columbia. At Monday's national release announcement, Michael Cook of the Census Bureau's Public Information Office says regional totals are not being released until August.
The set of data that we've released today is only down to the state level as far as the geography is considered, but there will be more to come and more details to follow as we continue to disseminate the results of the 2020 census.
It won't be until then to examine which parts of Alaska gained or lost population or more details like age, sex, and race. David Howell is Alaska's state demographer. He uses databases that track birth, death, and migration trends to figure out how many people live in Alaska.
Our estimate for 2020 was 728,903, so like right at 729,000 basically. So a little bit higher than ours, about 4,500 higher.
That's half of 1%. He says he's happy that his research and the census numbers are so close.
Always would like to be closer, so we're looking forward to seeing the more detailed data so we can see where is this population that we might have missed. Are they in group quarters? Are they in the Mat Su? Are they in Western Alaska? When we get a little bit more detail in the data, we can dive into this a little bit more.
The 2020 census was greatly challenged by the pandemic. At Monday's release announcement, Dr. Ron Jarman, the Census Bureau's acting director, recalled that the nationwide count started in Alaska.
The count began in January of 2020 in the small Alaskan village of Tuksuk Bay. On March 12th, invitations to respond to the census began to arrive in mailboxes across the country. Less than a week later, states across the nation began to impose stay-at-home orders. Immediately, we knew we needed to adapt.
The census postponed the door-to-door follow-up for months. In Alaska, broadcast advertising and social media asked people to fill out their census forms. Census officials say in spite of these setbacks, they think the count is accurate to within 1%. When regional totals are released later this fall, the state's five-person redistricting board can begin to look at Alaska's 40 legislative districts to see how they might be redrawn based on population shifts. The total U.S. population, by the way, is 334,735,155. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The United States' northernmost road paving project is scheduled to be completed this summer on Alaska's Dalton Highway.
It's a really big deal. It's an entirely unique project.
State Department of Transportation Northern Region spokesperson Caitlin Fry says the $38 million project, which began last summer, targets the last 50 miles of the Dalton from the Brooks Range north to Dead Horse.
This was the section that got washed out in that big flooding event that happened several years ago. And since then, we have built the road up higher off of the tundra.
Fry says paving will help prevent fine materials from washing out of the gravel roadbed, which has made the section of highway rough for traffic, mostly trucks supplying the Prudhoe Bay oil field. She notes that the paving project is too remote to haul in pre-mixed asphalt from the nearest facility in Fairbanks, about 500 miles away.
The contractor is QAP. They're based out of Anchorage, and they actually transported an asphalt plant all the way up there.
Fry says improvements in paving technology and equipment, including portable asphalt mixing machines, will aid in maintenance of the new pavement. Meeting last night, the Fairbanks City Council unanimously approved a resolution opposing a Dunleavy administration proposal to permit use of ATVs, snow machines, and other so-called all-purpose vehicles on public roads where the speed limit is 45 miles per hour or less. The council resolution raises several concerns, including that such vehicles are not equipped for safe road use, and emphasizes that any decisions about their use on roads should be made by local governments. It notes the potential of designating snow machine and ATV routes that would encourage access to local businesses. A University of Alaska Fairbanks program that connects residents of river communities and scientists to share information about ice is growing. The Fresh Eyes on Ice program began by working with teachers and students in 14 interior and Arctic communities in 2019. UAF International Arctic Research Center Fresh Eyes on Ice investigator Katie Spellman says the effort broadened last spring when the National Weather Service reached out to residents of river communities statewide for information during breakup.
More like citizen science model, where you just put the call out to anybody to contribute observations. And we got a neat response, and we were able to help the National Weather Service, Alaska's Pacific River Forecast Center.
Spellman says that's led to over 400 people joining a Fresh Eyes on Ice Facebook page and a recent NASA grant
to expand the more citizen science aspects of our project, based on the encouraging outcomes from last year.
Spellman says the $293,000 NASA award will be used to assess the ice information needs of river communities and scientists and to design an app to facilitate ice photo and data sharing. She says the project will apply for a second larger grant to actually build out the app on a NASA platform. I'm Dan Bross.